Good morning.
Hey, we didn't even plan that. Welcome to the Community Campfire. I'm John Burdick.
I'm Andrea Buchanan. Welcome to the Community Campfire. How was your week?
My week was like, oh my God, camp is over. School starts on Monday. I got to go meet with a great meet and greet at McPolin last night, and I got to meet Miss Hemish, is our new first grade teacher.
Oh,
my son is in first grade.
First grade, yes. I can't believe it. I know my son's going on to middle school, and I cannot even believe it.
So you're switching to it, yeah.
Yep, Ecker. They'll be on the same bus, so it's super exciting.
All right.
But yeah, it went way too fast. People say that, but it really, really went fast.
I thought I was going to get more camping trips in this summer. I really did.
Yeah.
I got a couple in.
Well, that's good.
Nice.
You got two more than me.
And you know what? That's the beauty of now, August, September, October. You know, the weather's still great, and, you know, we've got some random breaks at school. I always think that I you know, it comes back early. I don't remember going to school in grammar school before Labor Day.
Yeah.
But I guess it's, you know, after polling people, it actually is a thing.
I'm resisting. Well, today's show, we're going to take a look into the voices behind the voices you hear as part of our volunteer DJ Air Force. I got a chance to sit down with the one and only DJ Jay Fu before he took off back to ASU. And he is such a character, and we love him and appreciate him so much. And you're going to hear a lot about him.
I'm
later.
Excited to hear about the real Jay Fu. Please stand up. All right. And high school football, Coach Manzingo was on this morning talking about the preview of the Wasps versus the Miners tonight at Dozier Field at 7 o'clock. And if you can't make it, definitely tune in to KPCW, where Pete Gilwald and Matt Strader will take you through the whole game. Throughout the season, actually, we are going to broadcast every high school football game. So I'm sure Coach Skinner will give us a little bit of an update on that. Also, we have
our campfire kids.
Of course. And Anyone Awake was in studio.
I love that name, Anyone Awake.
Yes.
I mean,
I constantly ask that of people listening to this show.
Is anyone out there? Hello. They came in and played a few songs in the studio, which is so much fun.
And you get
so
to hear them. Those. Yep. And Claire did a good interview with them. So that's the end of the show.
Okay. So before we do that, let's hear from Madeline real quick.
Here's Madeline.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
Andrea here with Campfire Kids Griffin and Cairn, 2 8-year-olds who are best friends and neighbors and who have big ideas about winning the lottery.
Okay, I have a fun question for you. Do you know what the lottery is?
The lottery is like you get, it's like 1 in a million. You get one ticket, that's like $1. Mm-hmm. And if you win, you get money.
Okay, what do you think, Cairn? What is a lottery?
Same thing.
Okay, so I want to hear, Cairn, what would you do if you won the lottery?
Wait, how much would it be?
Let's say $1 million.
Like the grand lottery.
Okay, I'll get my money that I had before and add it to it. Then I would wish $900 on a PS5 because my parents won't get me one. And then I'll get an Xbox. Then I'll buy my own house if I have enough.
I love how the house came last.
I know.
Right? Like, if I have enough money, I'll buy a house.
But First of all, we got to get the games in.
I mean, just the structure of, you know, an 8-year-old's idea that $900, I got to get this first.
Love it. Love our campfire kids so much.
All right, Andrea. Well, the first story is from you.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm all over the place today. I'm all over this show. It's our DJ Voices. We're doing a kind of collection, time capsule, if you will, of our incredible volunteer DJs.
The volunteer Air Force,
yeah,
we call them.
That's right, the Air Force. And one of them is Jack Fu. You hear him on Saturdays, right?
So he started on Saturdays. Yeah. We'll find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to hear his story. He's really cool, very inspiring. He started here at 14 people, so...
Yep.
I'm just saying. John was the one.
He was one of the first DJs, and I was the assistant program director.
You fought for him, didn't you?
Renee was a little hesitant, and then like 5 weeks into his show, she was like, okay, I'm sorry. I questioned that you wanted to bring this kid on. And I mean, he just had such passion, and he still has such passion.
He does.
Anyway, let's hear the Jay Fu, the real Jay Fu.
The real Jay Fu. Please stand up. There are so many incredible things about working at KPCW. And one of them is our volunteer DJ Air Force. We have all these DJs that come in, give their time, sound great on the radio, bring a layer of fun and excitement into the studio. And I got to sit down with one of our youngest DJs. He started when he was 14 years old, and he's now going into his junior year at ASU. And I loved my conversation with Jack Footer. I hope you do as well. Tell me about when you started working here, Jack, and how old were you, and how did you come on board to the DJ Air Force?
So kind of in my teens, I kind of got very enamored with sports. And so because of that, I kind of wanted to, you know, thought maybe I want to do play-by-play specifically for sports like baseball and or basketball. And I don't know what transpired, her to suggest it to me, but my mom suggested that I reach out to John at KPCW to try and get involved here since I was kind of enamored with broadcasting. And so in the summer of 2019, I reached out to John via email, and over the next few weeks, we, you know, were chatting back and forth. I came in for an interview and stuff like that. And at first, they were a little hesitant to take on someone at 14 because they'd never had someone that young before. But they eventually decided to let me give it a go, and I, you know, started shadowing many different DJs from June through November of that year, and then in November I started doing them on my own and haven't looked back.
So you were 14.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And that says a lot about your maturity and your, you know, your desire to pursue something that you love. Mm-hmm. And so many kids, I think, today, maybe I'm wrong, but don't know what they want to do at that age. But you really did. You had this burning desire to do that.
Yeah, and I'd always been a person that was like, you know, yes, you're not like seeing the people you're doing the radio with, but at the end of the day, you're doing it in front of people because people are listening out there. And I've always been a person who could always talk to people, get up on stage throughout elementary school. I did some, you know, talent shows at youth theater and film programs through them. So I've done many things in front of cameras and other things, you know, but I've always been that person that could always talk because I talked way before I could ever walk, so I guess it was in my nature to be doing something in front of a mic or just speaking words out of my mouth.
That's funny. Your mom tell you that? Your parents tell you
that? Yeah, tell me that. And, you know, I joke sometimes with people that, you know, technically I play an instrument, and that's the vocal cords. You know, I use it to spread, you know, stuff on the radio.
I don't know. Do you feel like you bring a certain special quality to your broadcasting?
Kind of my motto for when I'm on air, whether it's here or on the student radio at ASU, is to be unique. And I attribute that to two different aspects. As I said, I'm a big sports head, so I grew up watching a lot of baseball games, and I'm a Nationals fan. And they have a broadcaster named Bob Carpenter who, you know, has a signature home run call. He yells, "See you later." And so that's kind of his, you know, unique thing that he does. And then one of the DJs I shadowed, who was a DJ here for many years, Joey DeSimone, when I shadowed him a few times, he would do a few different things unique, like he'd read some local concerts or do what he liked to call a triple play, where he played three songs that either were the same artist or in the same kind of category or same theme. And so it kind of showed me that, you know, those are things that they do that stand out. And I felt that to make my time special, that, you know, people are like, "Oh, this is really cool. I like this person. I want to come back and hear what they do next." Probably my trademark and what people know me best for is that Lost and Found jingle, which no idea how I came up with that or how I decided to choose the Lost and Found as my, like, unique niche thing, but that's what I ended up with.
Do it for me, because
Okay, so it goes something like, "It is time for the Lost and Found, Lost and Found, Lost and Found. It is time for the Lost and Found. Ba-dum-bum-bum-ba-da-dum." Essentially what I do, and people know me like, "Hey, you're the Lost and Found guy." Or,
"Oh, I love that." Did you grow up here in Park City?
Yeah, I've lived here my entire life. I was technically born in Salt Lake since there's no hospital up here, but still, yeah. Been a Parkite my entire life. You know, I went through Parleys and Ecker and Treasure in the high school, all that good stuff before heading off to Arizona.
How was it for you here? How was growing up in Park City?
You know, it was really great because there's so many fun things to do, you know, ski. You know, Park City is unique because we have so many different things for so many people. You can be, you know, if you like skiing, you can do that in the winter. If you're more of a biker, you can do that. We're very outdoorsy kind of community, but a small community. And we might have people coming from all different places over, but, like, we have that core group of people who have been the locals, who have been here for forever and know how the town has changed, and kind of keeping that charm while kind of building on, you know, embracing today.
Yeah, and your mom and dad, are your parents from here, or?
No, not originally. They've been here for numerous years, but my mom's originally from Michigan and my dad's originally from Maryland.
And baseball's your...
Yeah, basketball would be my number one. Big fan. Watched a lot of jazz games. Haven't much in recent years due to their not great playing abilities these days.
Are you a fair-weathered fan? Shouldn't you be stay the fan no matter what happens?
Oh, no, I am. I just haven't watched a lot of games due to school, obviously. But,
yeah.
But yes, I am a fan through and through, no matter, you know, whether they this season will pick up 11 wins or they'll pick up, like, 7. Like, I'll be watching their games.
How's college? And
yeah, college has been really fun. The best way I like to explain it to people is a choose-your-own-adventure video game, because a lot of times people go in with a major and kind of have an idea of what they want to do in that major, but the major is an umbrella with so many paths below it for what you can try out within that major. Because for me, I'm doing sports journalism, which is a branch of journalism. A lot of people think journalism is just the people who report on the news, whether it be on the radio or on TV, but it is so more niche than that. It can be PR, marketing, working with AI, VR. You know, you can be combating, you know, First Amendment rights. You know, you can do all sorts of different things. And so, you know, I've kind of learned over the years that, yes, I thought play-by-play was for me, but maybe it's just more of a for fun thing. You know, I'm trying out some PR and marketing stuff this semester. I covered many different events for the radio station, and so I love reporting on that stuff. And so that's kind of the greatness of that, because if one path isn't feeling right or something, you know, sparks your interest, you can go down that. Really, I attribute my success here to KPCW because I would describe it for me, well, first as a second home for me since I've spent so much time here. But aside from that more deeper, it's kind of been a launch pad because it's given me so many invaluable skills, whether it be broadcasting or senior year of high school, I interned in the news department. So I learned so many tips and tricks that I felt like I knew a lot more than some did going into ASU. And so I could know how to successfully do an interview, ask the right questions, whereas some people didn't know how to do that and they weren't sure, you know, which way to start on one of the big projects we had to do. We do like a semester long story and, you know, I knew right away to who to go to get the sources, things you're supposed to do in this journalistic world that I probably wouldn't have known if I hadn't done this internship. So KPCW kind of helped me in my success to start, but I've learned so much more being down at ASU.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that because you are so ahead of the game. This is your second year?
No, this will be my third. I'll be a junior.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's flying by.
It is flying by. So do you have to, what do you know what you're going to do after you get out of school?
I'm not sure yet. I'll just kind of see where it is. You know, I follow so many people from, you know, ASU on, you know, Instagram, and, you know, some people end up in, like, Louisiana, or they end up in Iowa, or they're staying in Phoenix, or they're coming back to where their hometowns are. So it just depends on where, I think, what branch of journalism I'm doing, and, you know, who might give me an opportunity.
And have you had a good summer in Park City?
I mean, it's been really great because I've been able to, you know, still do KPCW when I'm home on breaks, you know, whether it's sometimes one shift or multiple, it's been fun. I love hanging out with kids as I've been a camp counselor with Basin Rec for, I can't believe this is that long, but 7 years. It's always fun to hang with the kiddos in the summer, you know, keeps me busy. And
so how old are you now? You're
20.
You're 20.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been a camp counselor since you were 13.
14.
So you're 14.
Yeah.
So you really are wise beyond your years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sure you've always been told that.
Mm-hmm.
Much more mature than many, many people your age. Did you have a moment where something big happened and you were on the radio and you had to go with the flow and figure out what to do? Like, that would be a newsworthy event.
Two things. One, I was the last DJ to DJ in the old studio, and they were selling the old equipment. So I don't remember who the guy was, but he was taking different parts of the equipment out throughout my show. So I had to just...
No way.
I just had to roll with what they had left in the studio. So I was using a mic that was just a stand and other things to keep it going. And then right as I left, Mitch, who was on after me, he was the first guy in the new studio, and it was kind of funny that I was the last person to ever use that studio, A. And B, more recently this year, I think it was in May, I want to say, or there was like a gas leak or something on Main Street, and I was the DJ on air, and they were like, oh, KPCW, we need to evacuate. They're evacuating Sweet Alley, so.
I remember that gas leak. Never a dull moment.
No.
Never a dull moment at KPCW.
No.
Is there anything I missed or something you wanted to say before we sign off?
No, it's just been a lot of fun. There's been so many great moments throughout my time here in KPCW. Two come to mind. I mean, one, as I mentioned him, Joey DeSimone, he was one of the DJs who I shadowed the most of anybody. And, you know, while my time slot shifted on Saturdays throughout my time being the Saturday mainstay, he was on after me, or excuse me, before me for the longest time. And we did what I'm calling the transitional chat, because in the last, say, minute and a half to a minute before he went off the air and NPR started for my time, we'd be, you know, since we're big sports, that's maybe something in sports or something topical going on. And it was really a lot of fun to just kind of have that few second chat with him. It's been really fun to, whether I was being the megaphone guy, being on the float, holding a banner, going down that parade route on the 4th of July with KPCW and hearing my campers yell out, Jack, hey! Mm-hmm. Or seeing my campers on the parade route, because this year I was, you know, we were the Lost and Found Report. So you were the guy in the Lost credit card costume. And so, you know, it's really fun to see that, because I get to know some of these kids over the years since I've had them for so long or had them multiple weeks in camp.
Well, you are a beautiful person and a wonderful addition to this community and mm-hmm. to this radio station especially. We're so grateful for you. Thank mm-hmm. you for giving your time to us all these years, and we hope there's many more to come.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Best friends Griffin and Karen were discussing where they keep their money, especially that big lottery win. And suddenly we were talking about their crushes.
You have a piggy bank or a cash box or a place that you put your coins?
I have
coins?
A safe.
Ooh, what do you keep in there?
Nothing.
Private stuff.
Do you keep a diary?
Nope. I don't have a diary.
I don't either.
There's nothing to write about.
It's too risky. What if my sisters look into my diary and see who my crush is?
My whole family who knows who my crush is.
They do? Do you want to tell us?
No.
You have a crush? How old are you?
8.
Is your crush 8? Older or younger?
8.
And you're not going to tell us?
No. Why would I tell you?
Do y'all tell each other your crushes?
Yeah.
Because we keep secrets.
Yeah, we keep secrets. We can actually keep a secret.
Can you keep a secret?
Yeah, sometimes. Of course I can.
Okay.
Of course I can. Uh-huh. If I've been asked to, absolutely.
Oh. Well, without further ado, we have Coach Skinner and the Skinny on Sports coming at you live here on the Community Campfire. Hey, Coach.
Morning, John and Andrea.
Good morning.
It's no secret. Football starting tonight. High school football. Looking forward to this. And we're kicking things off tonight. It's Park City hosting the Wasatch Wasps at 7 p.m. over at Dozier Field. KPCW is going to be broadcasting that game live. Pete Gilwald and Matt Strader on the call. And I'm excited. I'm going to be back in the booth for my third year covering the minors. So looking forward to getting things kicked off tonight. It's going to be good stuff. We got Park City Miners. They're coming off a 10-2 season. They made the state quarterfinals last year, and it's going to be kind of an interesting year. They got a new set of opponents. There was some realignment this year, and they're moving out of Region 10 to Region 8 this year. So I don't know what to expect as far as the class of teams they're going to be playing. That's going to be interesting to see. And also, we've got lots of turnover on the team at some key positions like quarterback, and we've lost one of our top offensive linemen, things like that. But, you know, word on the street is that this next class of players is one to watch. So really looking forward to kicking off the season. The Wasatch Wasps, they are, you know, again, they're the opponent tonight for the Miners. They've been struggling this past few seasons. Last year, they went 3-8. They're bringing in a new head coach this year, Derek Bringhurst, and we're hoping to see things turn around for the Wasps. North Summit, they're kicking off tonight as well in Colville. They're going to be facing off against the Enterprise Wolves. The Braves went 11-1 last season, and the only loss they had was in that championship game. So we're looking for a repeat of last season, except we want to do one game better this year. How about that? And then South Summit, they're playing tomorrow night. They're going to kick off their season at Duchesne, and they're looking to improve on last year's 4-6 regular season record, but they did make a nice run in the playoffs, making the state quarterfinals before getting knocked out. So good on them. Looking forward to some high school football kicking off tonight. Going over to girls soccer, we've got Wasatch. They're off to a good start this season. 2-0 so far. They beat the Park City Miners 1-0 on Tuesday night this past week. The Miners, they're coming off an appearance in the state championship last year, but they're off to a little bit of a slow start this year at 0-2. Wasatch is at Brighton tonight, and Park City girls are at Lone Peak. North Summit and South Summit seasons are also getting underway soon. And over to girls tennis, the Park City girls are in St. George this weekend for a tournament. So looking forward for them to get underway as well. Things are a little bit quiet on the national scene. College football is still about 2 weeks away. We got NFL about 3 weeks away from kicking off their regular season. The U.S. Open tennis tournament, another 10 days or so before we get that going. And Major League Baseball, they're sort of in the dog days right now. They haven't quite ramped up the end of season pennant races, so just kind of muddling our way through the MLB season, but that's we're looking forward to things ramping up. It's about to be the most wonderful time of the year, I'm telling you. That is your Skinny on Sports today. I'm Coach Skinner saying, are you ready for some football?
Oh, my goodness. We are. We're ready.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, thanks. We'll see you tonight.
Okay. It is Friday, and there is stuff to do in town.
Always, always, always. When I moved here, I was always so amazed at how many things there are to do. It's just incredible. So tonight, of course, this weekend, if you've been through town or listened to us or have had any, if your eyeballs are awake, you know the Park City Song Summit is here, finally. And so it kicked off yesterday. There's a lot for everyone, as we've talked about at the station, from yoga, guided hikes, meditation, and then, of course, music tonight, the Song Summit discussions that they have, and it continues on through Saturday. And I went last year and had an amazing time. It's City Park this year, so it's a different location.
Totally different venue. They got it all set up in City Park.
It's great. It's like super local, hyper local Park City.
Yeah,
love
they
it.
Got the foundation stage, which is open to locals, and they're really featuring young up and coming artists, kids a lot with the foundation. And then headliner tonight is Green Sky Bluegrass, and then tomorrow night is Goose is their headliner. And it's just some great music coming to town. Great way to end the summer.
Sure
right
is.
Here in Park City.
Sure
what else is. We got going on?
Well, then Friday, if it's Friday, it's Heber Valley Railroad's Friday Night Train Ride. And if you've never done the Heber Creeper, I highly recommend it.
We did it last year for the first time. I finally got tickets for the Santa train, and that was a blast.
It really is something you have to do. It is just absolutely wonderful. This is not this weekend's event, but it's for next weekend. But we wanted to tell you in case you want to get tickets, because it's one of the most exciting, trendy events going on, and that is mushroom foraging.
Of course.
It is a big deal, people.
Okay.
A big deal.
What's your favorite kind of mushroom? Because you're a vegetarian, right?
Yes, vegetarian. Okay. I eat crimonis and portobello. I love mushrooms. Crimonis, portobellos. What was yours?
Morels. With like a port sauce that you can reduce it down.
Yum. Oh. Well, if you've ever wanted to go dig around and not eat the bad kind of mushroom, then you can go to Francis. It's in Francis. It's next weekend. It's utahmushrooms.org. And then I was talking with John a minute ago about truffles. And truffles and mushrooms are of the same family, but truffles are underground. That's why they're more expensive, because they're harder to find.
You learned it right here. And I guess they used to only look for them with pigs, and now they've got dogs trained to catch the truffle.
It's really all the rage. It really is. Highly recommend you checking it out.
Always, we try to look into what was August 15th in history. And do you know what today was? It was the first day of the Woodstock Music Festival.
Wow.
Yep. 1969 on August 15th, Woodstock Festival kicked off at Max Yeager's farm in Bethel, New York. Approximately 400,000 fans trekked to the three-day event to see acts like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Jimi Hendrix, Santana, Grateful Dead, Joe Cocker, Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, among 25 others that performed. They billed it as a three-day of peace music festival. Woodstock offered the culture generation a respite amid the Vietnam War and the unrest at home, and would become the defining moment of the era, as well as an iconic milestone in pop culture history. The festival would be captured in subsequent documentary, 1970's Woodstock. So if you can watch that this weekend. That's something fun you could do, as well as a best-selling soundtrack that came from that film. And I found some fun facts. You know how I love my fun facts. All right. Guess how much a ticket was at Woodstock?
$5.
$6.
Okay.
It was you had to come up with that other four quarters. And you could go to Woodstock. $6. They actually didn't happen at Woodstock, as we said. It's in Bethel, New York. And many performers demanded to be paid in cash before going on stage.
There was no Venmo. Thank you very much.
They had a lot of problems. They didn't plan for 400,000 people showing up to this small town in upstate New York. And they ran a little low on food and supplies.
And medical equipment.
And medical equipment.
There was a lot lot of emergencies.
There were quite a few. But the price of a hamburger at a food stand started at a quarter, and the entrepreneurs figured out that they could get a dollar once they started running low on food. But the crowd didn't really like that, and they just burned down the...
Yeah, like you do.
Which is what you do, right?
It's counterculture. I mean, you have to burn down something.
All right. Well, we're gonna hear from our last campfire kid for the day, and then our interview with Anyone Awake is right after that.
Best friends Griffin and Karen continue discussing their crushes and the perils of people who don't know how to keep secrets.
Elodie, my second oldest sister and my youngest sister, she's never kept a secret from me in my entire life. Literally, I told her my crush, and now everybody in her grade that she knows it.
Oh, man. What about you, Karen? Have you told your sisters your crush?
Mm-hmm. It was hard because our friends told my sisters.
Oh.
Our friends. So, also, they were guessing my crush.
Okay. Does your crush know you have a crush?
Yes.
Okay, so the crushes know.
Yes, the crushes know.
Just no one else knows except for your sisters and their whole grade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Claire Wiley, and I have been teasing this out, but we are really lucky. We love to have guests in our studio. I love to have guests in our studio. It gets kind of lonely when you're sitting all alone in the studio. So when I can get someone on here, especially musicians, it's really great. And we have two of the founders of the band Anyone Awake. It's Sam and Cash. Welcome, gentlemen.
Howdy. Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here. So I want to get to know you guys a little bit more. I understand that you are the founders of this band. So why don't we start with you, Cash? Why don't you tell me your full name and then what part or role that you play in the band?
Yeah, so my name is Cassius Coleman. I am the lead singer and rhythm guitarist for Anyone Awake. I'm also the main songwriter, I guess. I start with the material and we just bounce ideas.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Cash, you?
I'm Sam Butterfield.
Oh, Sam, sorry. I'm sorry. Sam, go.
Wait, what did you say?
I said Cash, but let's...
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm Sam Butterfield, still working on a pseudonym as good as Cash Coleman, but yeah, I am the bass player and the kind of co-founder, you could say, I guess.
Yeah, when you say founded the band, so when was it that, when did you know, Cash and Sam, when did you know that you wanted to get into music and that this was a path that you wanted to pursue in such a way that you put a band together at a pretty young age?
Well, I think the real thing is I started playing guitar 5 years ago when I was 13, and all my best friends had guitars that same Christmas, so we were like, let's just start a band. So we kind of just like, you know, jammed around, kind of started figuring out things. And then there just came a point where like I imagined myself on a bigger stage. And then from that point forward, it kind of was the torch and I just had to carry it. And so as time went on, things kind of evolved. And in our sophomore year of high school, I called Sam and I was like, you want to start a band? And he was like, yeah.
You were all in, huh?
Yeah. And so from that point, we've gone through different phases and things. Yeah. We were originally called Matching Sweater Date, but we changed that to Anyone Awake.
What was the impetus to naming yourself Anyone Awake?
It's kind of a protest against the people that kind of don't care about the arts, I guess. Like it's kind of like people just listen to whatever their friend listens to seem more cool, I guess. And it's kind of just a protest against people that aren't awake in that sense, you know, like it's more of like, we want people to care about the art behind it all.
I love that specifically. That is such a great answer. And I love that that is the name of your band, because I do think that sometimes we forget about originality now.
Yeah.
And we forget that we all are individuals and that we can bring something to the table as individuals that no one else can. And I love that you recognize that at such a young age and that you want to pursue your own sound and your own music. But we all derive from somewhere. You just said that you really like the Backseat Lovers. What are some of the other musical influences that you got at a young age that really resonated, I guess, with you?
Another huge one was Nirvana. And I know that one's a big popular one, but just kind of the story of Kurt Cobain and how he kind of came from nothing to everything and then back to nothing. It's just like a very tragic story. But I thought it was very beautiful how he was able to be himself throughout his whole life and stay true to that and then inspire others to kind of find out who they are and be true to that too.
Yeah. And as you start this band and you start playing and you start getting this footing, how did you start to evolve into a band that people were coming to see, people would pay to see? When did that happen?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. It was kind of like last June, we kind of started getting a little bit of attention on Instagram. And then our live shows, just like we just started to notice the crowd was a lot more involved. And like next thing you know, we started kind of selling some more tickets and things. And now it's just kind of slowly been growing up from there. So I don't know. It's been interesting to watch.
I think as a band, we value authenticity a lot. Because, like, our drummer, Seth, does a lot of, like, he enjoys more, like, heavy stuff. And you can feel that influence. And I feel like if we, like, had him out, like, kind of try to mold him into something that would fit better with us, it wouldn't be as good. And I think that authenticity is kind of what draws people.
Yeah.
So you all are unique, you say, individuals, but then you came together to make a sound. How would you describe your sound?
I'd say, especially now, it's going a lot more alternative. It's definitely indie, but it's got its punk rock roots. It's got the inspiration from all the different corners of our tastes. It just adds up.
Well, I read, and tell me if this is true or not, that your debut LP, first you can tell us what's the name of it.
It's called Bushel in a Peck.
Bushel in a Peck.
Yeah.
And am I right in understanding that this was about your grandparents' love story?
Yes, it is.
Tell me about that.
So my grandparents, it was actually my great-grandparents. My grandpa died last February. I was there when it happened, and it was just like such a peaceful, surreal moment, like very, very, like, I don't know, just big. And so he had already been telling me his story with my grandma, and especially you can see the album cover on I Think So, our first single off of that album. It was the day of their wedding day, and there was just a day at Thanksgiving, and he was like, "Do you want to see my favorite picture?" And he took me to the closet, and we flipped through every single scrapbook they had until he found it. And then he finally showed it to me, and it was just that same picture. And so I was like, he started telling me the story of how they met. And they met at the college up there. And she was originally like, "No, like, I'm focusing on school. Like, you're not going to date me." And then he would drive up to see her at work every single day until finally she said yes to going on a date with him. And then from there, things slowly picked up. They moved to Vegas for a little while. And they were married for about 67, 68 years or so until he passed last year.
And 68 years.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a beautiful love story.
It is. And I started to realize a lot of the songs off the album I had written when I was like about 14, 15, and they were super parallel with their story. So like the album isn't like a perfect description of them. It's more of like a tie between them and me and like where my roots came from and my family, but also like how their legacy affects me and how I can learn from that.
Well, there's such a genuineness and authenticity, like you described it, Sam, in writing your own lyrics and pulling from life stories. And you are young, but you seem to have a very old soul. Have people told you that before?
I have. And I've noticed it's people, especially like when I did pottery for a little while too, which I've kind of fallen out of just as I've focused on music. But like a lot of the old potters and stuff, they're old and they're all like, you're totally an old soul. And they tell me that all the time. That was mostly who I heard it from.
But, I love that.
Yeah.
So
We are lucky enough to be in the presence of anyone awake. Hey, guys.
Howdy.
So glad to have you here. They comprise of Cash Coleman, who is on guitar and vocals, one of the founders of the band. Sam Butterfield, also one of the founders on guitar. We've got Seth Chamberlain, who is on drums. Yes, Seth. And Rylan Sager, guitar. And that makes up Anyone Awake. So, gentlemen, we're so glad to have you here in our studios. And I had a chance to talk with Cash and Sam a little bit about the band and how it formed. And the cool part about this LP, your debut LP, being about his grandparents' love story and how he's written a lot of these songs, and then you guys come together and collaborate around them. We talked about some of their inspirations, one being Backseat Lovers and Nirvana. So I'm interested, Seth, what are some of your biggest musician inspirations?
I guess I'll speak in these mics if anyone can hear me. but probably for me, I love Foo Fighters. That was like my first big band I liked. I also play guitar, so since Dave Grohl plays drums and guitar, that was like a big influence for me. And I also really love 4 Years Strong. I'm repping the merch right now. But
I see love 4 Years Strong. 4 Years Strong. Obviously, Grohl, one of the Nirvana members. So, yeah, kind of keeping that vibe. And we all love Dave Grohl here, we have to say. We love when he comes into town. It's the best. Also, Rylan, what is some musicians that have really meant something to you as you were forming into a musician?
Yeah, I remember one of the best concerts I went to was Smashing Pumpkins, and just being that close to all of them was like life-changing experience. So a lot of the 90s bands, kind of like what Seth said, but a lot of like modern emo bands like Origami Angel, some of the local bands, shout out Melancholy Club from Utah. That's who inspires me the most.
Oh, very cool. You guys are talking my language, because this was my era that you keep talking about. And we were just having a chat about, like, back in the day, you know, Nirvana obviously changed the tide of music. They meant so much to so many of us. When I was in those years, I was about your age when they came about. And I love that you are going back to them and learning from them. I think that's super cool. So, without further ado, I know everyone just wants to hear you play, but I like to get to know you. So we know you a little bit better now. We are going to have Anyone Awake. And what was the name of the first song you're going to play again, Cash?
The first song's called I Think So. It's off of our album, Bushel and a Peck. And then the second was called Mike's Lemonade, and that one's unreleased.
Okay, let's start with the first song. Here we go. This is Anyone Awake.
All right.
And then she asked me on a date to a favorite spot, kissing the parking lot. I don't care if people are looking the stars, there's care on. On another guy. And if you wanna make it right, well, I'd suggest that you stop telling lies. So why do we wait for everyone to listen to what we say? Maybe they'll come around one day. Maybe we should stay away. Sorry that I kissed you that night. I didn't know your mind was on another. And if you wanna make it right, oh, I'd suggest that you stop telling lies. Jessa, you stop telling. Bye.
My gosh. Well, I think you blew out some speakers from our listeners in the beginning there. That was awesome. I love that. That made my heart so happy, and I was just back here jamming. I hope all of our listeners out there were jamming out too. And welcome back to The Local View. I'm Claire Wiley, and you have been listening to Anyone Awake live in our studio. They are rocking out. I think this is, if I'm not wrong, the most rocking band we've had here on The Local View. I'm all about it. This is so great. We are so happy to have you here. So Anyone Awake consists of Cash Coleman, Sam Butterfield, Seth Chamberlain, and Rylan Sager, hailing from Idaho. And as I understand it, it's a small town in Idaho. Can you tell me a little bit about where you hail from?
It is, yeah. We're from Rigby, which is just north of Idaho Falls, so like the Rigby-Rexburg area. I don't know. It is a very small tune there, town. There's not a lot to do there, so we just picked up our instruments and started jamming.
And we were talking earlier because I was like, hey, who's the comedian in the group? Who's kind of the guy that is the organizer, gets everything together? And you said, we're all just kind of razzing on each other all the time is what we do.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't think one of us is like the more funny one. I think it's all, except for Sam. Sam does have those punch-ins where they're just like perfect timing.
Oh, so he's a bit of the comedian.
Yes.
Is there any one of you that is kind of the organizer that gets everyone out the door and ready and going? Or you guys are
pretty
good?
Yeah, that's our manager, Vanessa, over here.
Yeah, okay. That makes, they pointed to their Vanessa, their manager. That makes a lot of sense. So she gets y'all rallied around and to go. Well, we talked about earlier that you formed this band when you were just a teenager. So how many years have you been together then as a band?
The four of us, how we are now, we've only been together for about a year and a half. But Anyone Awake has been around since late 2022. We started that in like the middle of December in our sophomore year.
And what would you say has evolved most about you as a band, or what are you looking to evolve into? What are you thinking?
I'd say what's evolved most is just like our ability to kind of write with each other. I think like there's been a lot of new influences that have kind of changed our sound quite a bit. And we've kind of gone a lot of different directions. And honestly, I don't really have a hope of where we evolve into. As long as we're happy with it, I think it'll be great.
Oh, I love that answer. And we were talking earlier, too, about, I asked you if you plan to, because you all just graduated from high school and you are brand new out in the world. And I asked you what your plans were, if you plan to travel. You are on tour right now. Do any of you have any college aspirations? You said that you might want to go into
Anesthesiology.
That's right. So. Yeah. But you're on tour now.
Yeah.
This summer.
This is our first tour. Rylan and Seth they're already in college. Seth is 23 and so is... Rylan graduated.
Oh, you guys are already out in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sam and I just graduated high school this year. So there is a slight age gap, but I think it's good because then it's not like we're all immature and we're all mature too much. I don't know.
Well, we just talked about you being kind of an old soul, Cash. So I think that you have a lot of maturity to you already. Well, we are so happy to have you here in studio. Your sound is quite amazing. And we've talked about some of the bands that have inspired you and you pulled from, and you can kind of get a little bit of notes of that. But you talked about also it was important for you to have originality and be authentic to yourselves. And you're building that own sound for yourselves. So we've got another song coming up. This one's called Mike's Lemonade, right?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Well, this, everyone, is Anyone Awake with Mike's Lemonade.
Mike's Lemonade spilled all over your bedroom floor. What are you waiting for? And I just got back. You're sleeping in, and I wonder if you're drunk again, 'cause it hurts to see you like this. Start
Well, that is the end of the Community Campfire for today. If you missed it, subscribe to the Community Campfire podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And be sure to follow us at KPCW Radio and at Community Campfire on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
And thanks to Promontory Foundation and the Park City Chamber and Visitors Bureau for sponsoring the Community Campfire today. And the Community Campfire is your show. So if you have a great campfire idea and want us to talk about it, send us an email at campfire@kpcw.org.
John, any final fun facts to end today's show?
A final fun fact to make you sound smart after listening to today's show. The number 4 is the only number with the same number of letters as its value.
Whoa.
Deep. Mind blown.